15 Kodiak. This is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, some of the summer king runs were especially successful this year, others not so much. A group of experts got together to talk about some of the reasons behind the lower numbers scattered across the state. Also, prices for halibut quota shares are high and staying there. That and more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The preliminary dockside value of Alaska's salmon season skyrocketed this year to nearly $680 million, a 67% increase over last year. That's stabilized permit prices for several regions and caused an upward tick at others.
I think that we're seeing some stability across the board in these permit values.
Doug Bowen runs Alaska Boats and Permits at Homer. Bristol Bay drift permits trade more than any other, and after one of the best seasons ever, permit values are increasing.
They certainly have not rocketed up in value. They're up around 140, 141. Right now, which is up from where they were before the season, down around 130, 135. But several years ago, they actually hit $175,000.
Permits at nearby Area M on the Alaska Peninsula showed the biggest value increases, going from $110,000 before the season to about $140,000 now. It's about the same range for drift gillnet permits in other big salmon fishing regions.
It's interesting, different years there can be a huge difference between, say, a drift gillnet permit in Prince William Sound and Area M and in Bristol Bay. For whatever reason, this year, they're all about the same.
Cook Inlet drift permit values reflect three lousy fishing seasons.
The permits got all the way down into the low to mid-30s, and they've inched back upwards around $40,000 right now.
Kodiak seine values are ticking up to over $30,000. At Southeast, Bowen says there's not a lot of movement for drift permits, which are up to around $100,000, and seine cards have slipped a bit.
Up a little over $200 there before the season, and now you can see them listed at, $180 or so.
Tomorrow, we'll look at values of IFQs. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This summer's Yukon River Chinook run was the best since 2003. The run of over 260,000 fish is a significant milestone given recent history, according to Alaska Department of Fish and Game biologist Holly Carroll.
Contrast that with 2012, 2013, 2014, where fishing needed to be nearly entirely restricted.
Those king runs dipped below 100,000 fish, a lot less than past highs. Historic peaks are not expected in coming years, but Carroll notes an optimistic forecast for returns like this past summer's.
Our research on juvenile salmon out in the Bering Sea is indicating that for the next few years, we're going to see run sizes similar to this year and last year, and possibly even increasing for 2019 and beyond.
We kind of always have to take any kind of forecast with a grain of salt, just because anything can happen out in the ocean.
State research biologist Katie Howard works with federal scientists surveying juvenile salmon in the Bering Sea, counts which have been used to predict Yukon Chinook returns since 2013.
We've only been doing this for 5 years, and in one of those 5 years, we were a little off, and every other year, we pretty accurately predicted what was going to return.
Accurate forecasting is a big deal for fishery managers, particularly during the early part of the season when run strength is unclear. Howard says the research is also providing some insight into what's responsible for poor years. She says salmon are susceptible to high mortality during early life stages.
Between when the eggs are laid in the gravel and when we see these fish as juveniles after their first summer at sea.
Howard says that points to environmental factors causing die-offs.
Things like temperature and the timing of when fish migrate out into the ocean may influence the survival in that first few weeks out in the ocean.
Howard cites temperature-driven moves that result in tiny salmon entering waters with poor food availability and high predation.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Fish byproducts are rapidly growing in popularity. Broths made from bones and other fish parts are becoming all the rage for health enthusiasts all over the globe. Bone broths are loaded with vital nutrients like calcium, iodine, and minerals. A handful of Alaska companies are already on the fish broth bandwagon. Rich Clark, owner of Alaska Black Cod, makes his stock out of leftover sable fish carcasses. He has considered selling his fish bones at farmers markets for people wanting to make their own broth at home. Ed's Casino Sealoff Seafood's halibut bone broth was a Beyond the Plate entry at AFDF Symphony of Seafoods last year. And Alaska Broth Company founder David Chesick hopes that one day his blend will be known as Alaska's coffee.
Thanks to Stephanie Mangini with Alaska Fish Radio for that report.
Prices for halibut quota shares remain in the nosebleed area, but they're not going any higher, at least for now.
The price is still very high, but seems to stabilize somewhat, 70-some dollars a pound in Southeast, 60 in 3A, and in the 40s in 3B, and those values stair-step as you move farther west.
Doug Bowen operates Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer. He says it's likely that recent drops in halibut prices at the docks have slowed the upward trend for quota shares.
Here in the last few months, the dock price for halibut has continued to decline, and there have been times here in Homer when clients had brought loads of halibut in here and couldn't find anybody to buy them.
Halibut prices started out in the $7 per pound range since the season opener in March at most major ports coast-wide. But with buyers resisting the extended high prices at the docks and at retail, it's having an effect on the quota share market. Fingers point to up to 12 million pounds of cheaper Atlantic halibut entering the market this fall. But it's tough to get data on exactly how much or if it's coming from the East Coast, Canada, or Iceland. Still, proximity gives the fish a leg up in the market.
It's got to cost them a whole heck of a lot less money to get their product to those high-end East Coast markets than it does to get ours all the way here from Alaska.
Next month, halibut holders in the Pacific will get a first glimpse of potential catches for 2018.
If the survey results come out and they're very strong for one area or another, you'll definitely see some folks try to get out ahead of the anticipated price increase because of the good news coming out of that area.
The halibut survey results will be revealed at the International Pacific Halibut Commission meeting November 28th and 29th in Seattle. Find links at our website, alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Concern over poor king salmon runs across some parts of the state drew a panel of fisheries experts together at a recent meeting in Anchorage. The event focused mainly on a better understanding of the science behind population declines. Panelists addressed the elements that play into ocean survivability like fishing, predation, and warming waters. National conservation nonprofit Trout Unlimited hosted the panel. Austin Williams, the group's legal and policy director in Alaska, says there are still a lot of gaps in knowledge. He says there's a real need for continued research to address some of the reasons king runs are weaker.
It's an issue not just confined to Cook Inlet or the Anchorage area. We have the Southeast Alaska Chinook runs have decreased dramatically and were entirely shut down this year. And then we've also, you know, some of the runs in Western Alaska have also been declining at alarming rates.
Williams says overall, the state has successfully managed its fisheries.
We need to continue to do that, and we need to continue to recognize that in the lean years when we don't have as many fish returning as we'd like, you know, we need to curtail back fishing. And when we have years of abundance, we need to make sure that we go fishing and enjoy that.
He says there's an overlay of politics and policy when managing the fisheries, but the panel looked at the things people have more control over, like sustainability. Panel moderator Dave Atchison, a sport fisher and journalist, called the event a start.
We were hoping that this will spawn a lot more action and maybe, you know, to have a whole full-day symposium in the future, and also to get groups like Trout Unlimited and other organizations to see what we might do to help support studies that might be needed and that sort of thing to keep our fisheries healthy.
Other speakers touched on the importance of freshwater habitat in conserving fish stocks and public involvement in protecting natural resources.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
State attorneys are appealing a judge's decision to allow a controversial ballot initiative to move forward. The Department of Law filed a notice of appeal last week asking the Supreme Court to reverse the lower court's opinion. In a media release, State Attorney General John Lindemuth says the question of whether the ballot initiative is unconstitutional should be answered by the Supreme Court. The initiative would ask voters in 2018 to strengthen the state's permitting requirements for projects that could interfere with salmon streams. Developers would have to prove that the projects wouldn't damage salmon habitat. Last month, Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott rejected the initiative, saying it's too broad and could halt development of roads, pipelines, and the proposed pebble mine. The Alaska Board of Fisheries has rejected an agenda change request that would have moved up the discussion of a Cook Inlet claim on sockeye salmon in the Kodiak management area. That's according to Kodiak resident Duncan Fields, who was at the board's work session and was involved in the local response the last time the issue came up in the 1980s. The next time the board is slated to review the issue is in 2020 in Kodiak, along with other Kodiak-related matters. If the board had accepted the agenda change request, Fields says it would have considered the claim this year or next, most likely outside the Kodiak area. Fields says the Board of Fisheries only grants agenda change requests if there's new information, an error in regulation, or a conservation concern. In this case, he says, the board's vote was 7-0 against the request.
The consensus of the board after discussion was that, yes, there were some conservation issues embedded in this issue, but as a conservation concern, it didn't rise to the level of accepting the agenda change out of cycle.
The Cook Inlet claim followed a genetic study the Department of Fish and Game released in 2016 showing fishermen are catching Cook Inlet fish in Kodiak waters. Sometime after, the United Cook Inlet Drift Association asked the Board of Fisheries to consider a cap on commercial sockeye in the Kodiak area. Since Kodiak bases its management plan on run health, local leaders said such a limit would be disastrous for the regional salmon fisheries. Fields says local groups now have more time to prepare for when the claim comes before the Board of Fisheries. Unless fishermen submit another agenda change request, that'll be in the regular cycle time of January 2020.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KUAC's Dan Bross in Fairbanks, KTO's Rasha McChesney in Juneau, and Alaska Fish Radio's Stephanie Mangini and Lainey Welch in Kodiak. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.